What's going on, earners? Welcome to EYL University, the number one place for business education. Shadi, tell them what we're bringing.
Yes, EYL University already has over 100 past webinars from all areas of business. It includes weekly webinars from industry leaders. It includes access to our investment Facebook group, movie club, our book club. It also includes access to monthly financial planning calls with yours truly. But what has been added has access to MG the Mortgage Guy's Home Buyer's Blueprint, over 14 hours, everything you need to know as far as the home buying process is concerned. And also what has been added is access to our monthly group chat call. Right. So once a month, me, Troy, and the whole team is going to let you in on our personal plays, our portfolio, what we're doing, and more. So all of that, we are running for a special promo code of 70% off for a limited time only. So head to EYLUniversity.com right now and take advantage.
You know how this works. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. We'll see you on the other side.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop.
Backdrop.
F*** a mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop. Stock market investing, right?
Talk about it.
What is your theory but from buying and holding and day trading? Because that's kind of like the two trains of thought in investing. It's like day trading. Anybody's not familiar with day trading, that's when you're actually buying a stock and you're trading it intraday, sometimes like within a couple of minutes, and you're getting your profits. Whereas buying hold, there's more of you're buying and you're holding long term. That long term could be 6 months, a year, 10 years, 25 years, but you're not looking to make quick decisions. So what's your theory between buying long term and day trading?
All right. So with buying long term, that's where the wealth is at. Because when you buy long term, you're not affected by the short term activities that go on in the market, and you can't control that. So because I can't control that, I want to say I'm willing to wait that out, right? Whereas with day trading, it's a high. It's like, yo, this just went up. I'm about to get this bread and I'm gonna get out. But what people don't tell you about day trading, and I have nothing against it because the money in it, but those capital gains taxes that come with it gonna eat away at your profit.
Right.
You right?
Right.
With stock market, with the way that I invest, my goal is to just hold it at least for a year and a day.
So, all right, let's talk about that. So capital gains, for most people, it's like 15% for the average person?
Nah, 20, 29. 28.
Short-term capital gains.
Oh, yeah. You're going to go with 18.
Yeah, because long-term capital gains is 15%.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, short-term capital gains, yeah, it's higher.
Yeah.
So, capital gains is when you sell a stock, you got to pay taxes on that. And
on,
as you
on
said-
On the profit.
Right, on the profit. And the short-term capital gains is more than long-term capital gains, which is an incentive to hold it. And a long-term capital gain started at a year, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, if I got- I bought a stock at $100, I made $150, I'm paying a tax on the 50.
You're going to pay a tax on the 50.
Right.
Now, if you hold it for a year and a day, you're only going to pay about 12%. If you hold it for 6 months, you'll pay about 22%.
Right. Yeah.
So the goal is just, and so the goal in building wealth and is simply this: it's not about how much money you make; it's about how much you keep.
That's a fact.
You feel what I'm, so for me, I want to keep as much as I can, and so if I got to hold it for a year and a day, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with it. Because I've gained equity in it, and if they're paying dividends, I done got full quarters worth of dividends. I done made my bread. I'm good. And see, that's the part of like trading that people don't talk about.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like you said, it's not sexy.
It ain't sexy. Yeah.
And they want short term gratification without, you know, being in it for the long haul. Right. And the thing about it is that nothing happens overnight.
Nothing.
And you don't build wealth overnight as well. And it's important. I always tell my client, my financial advisor, I tell my clients all the time, you have to diversify. Like you can't put all your eggs in any one basket, right? You got to diversify. So you might have real estate, but it's not healthy to just put every dollar that you have into real estate, right? It's common sense.
Yeah.
For a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
But stocks is a key wealth building tool and should definitely be part of somebody. Most people are investing in the stock market without them even knowing it because of the 401k plan.
Mm-hmm.
So dividends, right? Because this is something that we haven't covered. And a lot of people have heard of dividends, but they don't fully understand what a dividend is. So what is a dividend?
Yeah, you said that's one of the strategies you use,
yeah,
right?
I love them.
Stocks with
them. Yeah. So what happens is dividends are a portion of the profit that companies pay to people who are invested in a business. Not the revenue, but the profit. So if I have a business that brings in $10,000 a month and I profit $5,000 a month, then out of that $5,000, I'll take a percentage of that, which is called the dividend yield, and I'll pay it to my investors as a part of saying, hey, thank you for investing in my business.
Is it paid equally, or is it obviously depending on how many shares you have, you get more?
Nah, yeah, well, the dividend is the same. Yeah. So if I pay 50 cents a share,
right,
which is $2 a year, everybody gets that.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how much you have, if you got five, I have 10, he have 15, then we'll all get a different amount. But the underlying asset value is the same.
So what are some top companies as far as dividends these days? What are they paying?
AT&T pays 6%.
6%.
That's major. Now, so this is the dope part. So we talk about real estate, right? The real estate aspect of the stock market, which is called Real Estate Investment Trust, which is
a REIT,
which is saying I can own Walmart as a business and I can own the people who Walmart pay rent to because they don't own the building. They just own the name.
Hmm.
Like Amazon has a warehouse. I can own Amazon and I can also own the warehouse who Amazon pays the rent to. REITs pay higher dividends. We talking 12%, 9%, 7%. So individual stocks, AT&T, Macy's, CenturyLink. Now that's a bad business, but they pay a high dividend. That's what's called a dividend trap. We're not going to get into that.
are they dispersed quarterly? How do they disperse?
So every business is different. So with a lot of with the REITs, they come out, some of them pay monthly. Mm-hmm. And so remember I was telling you that I have businesses. One of my businesses is Apple Realty. They own 128 Sheratons and Hiltons and 200 and something Marriotts. They're not going out of business anytime soon. But they pay me, I think, at a 9% rate on their REITs. And they pay that monthly. So every month, they're paying me.
So that's 9% on the money that you have invested?
No, that's 9% of the stock price.
Okay.
Right. So that's all a dividend yield is. So a dividend yield is this. If the stock price is $100 and a dividend yield is 5%, then your dividend is 5% of that $100.
Okay.
That's what you're getting paid.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's passive.
Super passive.
Passive. But you do have to have large amounts for it to...
This is true.
But you were saying that you have to start looking at it like, okay, this will pay my cell phone bill. Yeah.
What's your freedom price?
Can you explain that?
You talked about AT&T, but you got a great AT&T
store. So what happened to me was I started asking myself, how do I buy back my freedom? Right? Like, how do I buy it back?
That's powerful.
Right? Because it's not given to you. Just like, you know, chattel slavery. Like, I'm not going to give it to you. You got to buy it back. You got to fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how do I buy back my freedom? With the stock market. Because you can't save to invest to get it back. Right? We know that. You can't work a bunch of hours to get it back. So the next best thing for me was dividends. So I was like, okay, what do I use every day? My phone bill. AT&T, and I have Apple product. So because AT&T pays a 5%, 6% dividend yield, I was like, okay, I need this many shares of this business to pay off my phone bill every 4 months because AT&T pays quarterly, which is every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Disney pays semi-annually, which is twice a year. And then you have some businesses that pay every month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, if I can get AT&T to pay my phone bill through their dividends 4 times a year, then I have essentially bought back my freedom because I no longer have to work to pay for that phone bill. AT&T paying it for me. And so you can do that with your, if you're in Georgia, you can use Southern Company, which is another great dividend business. How much is your phone bill? I mean, your light bill, $80, $100. They pay like a 3, 4% dividend. Figure out how much the dividend is per quarter, how many shares you need of that business, and then let that pay your light bill. So if you can use your dividends from a business to pay your light bill and your phone bill, you've bought back some of your freedom. Because now you can take that money and invest it and do something else with it.
Absolutely.
That is optimizing your money. The money is just a tool. We know that much. So if we can use the tool to do what it's supposed to do, then we getting maximum value for it.
And that's, so once you fully understand investing, you start to understand that it's like Spanish, right? So I don't know how many Spanish people are in New Orleans, but
they got a few.
Half of them. Like 70% of New York is Spanish. Maybe not. 50%. 50% of New York City. Yeah. 50% of New York is Spanish.
Spanish speaking. It's a lot.
So I say that to say, when you're around Spanish enough, you start to understand it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Maybe you might not be able to speak it, but you can kind of have a general understanding of it, right? The same thing with investing.
Mm.
When you're around the language of investing, mm-hmm. it starts to make sense, and you realize that they're all kind of similar. It's just like, actually, when you learn foreign languages, like Spanish is similar to French. They all come from like
Spanish, Portuguese.
Yeah, they're all kind of similar. I forget where they actually, the root came from, but long story short of it is that what you just explained was the same theory that DJ Envy explained to us when he says that he doesn't buy any liability until he has an asset to pay for it. His thing is real estate. So he buys a home, and now he has a home to actually pay rental for his Lamborghini or something like that. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel that.
You just bring it down on a small level.
Right.
But
because I mean, that's key though, right? If you break it on a small level, like.
Well, yeah. And then also what people have to understand too is that, so people might say, okay, well, I got to put $2,000 into a stock to get a $100 dividend. It's not worth it. But the thing about it is that it's not like you're paying for something, you're investing. So that $2,000 is going to grow over the course of time while you're getting your dividend. So it's not like you're just putting your money into Never Everland. It's actually going to an investment that'll probably gain value over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you're actually gaining income that you can use via the dividend. And now you can actually use that to support your lifestyle. Because like you said, you got to find a way to actually make money while you're sleeping.
That's
what Warren Buffett said, right? He said, if you don't make money while you're asleep, you work for every dollar.
Yep.
So by doing that, now you're actually, okay, now I can, like you said, you can focus on, okay, now I did that. Now I got to do something to pay my rent. I got to do something to pay my mortgage, and I got to do something to pay my car bill. And then before you know it, you're not actually paying anything yourself. It's all being paid for you, which leaves you more money because that $200, you can actually reinvest and do other things, and just kind of like a domino effect.
It's like Lord of the Sunset. He was like, yo, I treat money like little soldiers. They have to go work.
Listen, but also, you're forgetting something that's major. The ownership.
Mm. Yep.
You feel me? So while your money is working for you through the dividends, your ownership, your equity is also increasing.
Yeah.
So that's how you leverage the game with that.
Yeah. And that's something that people don't understand either. It's like, people's like, well, everybody's not an entrepreneur. I don't want to own a business. There's a lot that comes with owning a business, but there's more than one way to own a business.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy stock, you're an owner in that company.
Yeah.
That's probably the easiest way to own a business. Yeah. Now, you're not going to be the majority owner, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
You're still an owner.
1% of something is better than
0%. But listen, so Warren Buffett owns 6% of Coca-Cola, right? So he's still not a majority owner, but he still has say-so. And this is the one thing about the stock market that I love. I still can vote on every business that I own, and they have to acknowledge me. Like, I literally bought 3 shares of Berkshire Hathaway B. Let's make sure I say that, B.
what's the A? Tell like 100 something thousand?
Nah, go up 200 more hundred. It's 300 and something thousand.
Please, right? There's a difference.
There's a big difference. So let me say, because I don't want nobody to be like, hey, man, you ain't got no.
Man, I heard you on that podcast. Yeah.
You feel me? So I literally bought 3 shares of Berkshire B.
Which is Warren Buffett's company, for anybody
that doesn't know. I bought my daughter. That's another thing. So at 3 years old, my daughter has $5,000 invested in the stock market.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that. You can finish it. I'm going to ask you about that.
But I bought 3 shares of Berkshire B so I could go to the Warren Buffett annual meeting and I had right to vote on anything.
In Omaha?
Yeah.
Did you go?
I went to NIPS. That's when everything happened. But I'm going next year. Okay. For sure. And the only way you can go is if you own at least 1 share. Right? So I was like, okay, cool. And you actually get to talk to this man.
Wow. So I'm glad you said that about your daughter. Because speaking of NIP, actually, I posted about NIP. You commented on that post.
For sure.
About, and you were talking about a custodial account for your daughter. Mm-hmm. So I had put a post up that, like, if you celebrate Christmas or for kids' birthdays, a suggestion is that, you know, if you're going to spend $200 on gifts, maybe spend $100 on the gifts and $100 on an investment, right? Mm-hmm. And people's like, well, how do I do that? So
I walk you through that.
Yeah, no problem. Walk us through it. Exactly.
So it's basically, I don't buy my daughter toys at all. I told her mom, and I'm like, listen, I'll buy clothes, I'll buy food, I'll buy necessities, but everything else, I'm buying stocks. So just walking, it's called a UGMA account. It's a custodial account. I use TD Ameritrade. And all you're doing is just like opening up a bank account, and you'll just add your kid to it. And what happens is you have actual control of the account until the kid is 18. Once the kid makes 18, then they have control. My thing is simple. And so this is how we shift the dynamics. Like, this ownership stuff is real powerful to me. My daughter's 3, and I invest money for her monthly, weekly, right? Right now, my daughter at 3 can tell you what assets and liabilities are. This is a conversation that we have, right? She knows. I say, what dividends come from? She'll say, dividends come from shares. She'll say that. By the time she's 18, she'll already be 6 figures her own network. That's powerful. That's a whole nother dynamic. We've put her in position to have privileged opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. Also, we've now established to her the importance of ownership, right? So what happened with us when we was kids, I don't know about y'all, when I was kids, money was always scarce. Like, we ain't got no money for that, we got bills, right? But now at 3, she can talk to me about Disney stock. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me, that's what I do. Everything we do right now, her account, I think she had like $5,500 because I've been buying these weed stocks since they've been on sale, and I bought some for her, Canopy Group.
What was the name of your account at the bank? Huh? The type of account that
It's called a custodial account.
Okay.
But when you look it up on the TD Ameritrade, it's called UGMA.
Can it go through, I know you said TD Ameritrade, but mm-hmm. Is it offered through other banks as well?
Well, I went through, you can go through Fidelity.
Okay.
Charles Schwab. Most of them have.
Yeah, they all have. And it's most of them have. They have Utma accounts. They have 529, which is a college savings plan. There's a couple of different ways
you can save. I don't like the 529.
Why not?
Because it's boxed in.
That's true.
It's boxed in, just you have to use it for college.
Well, they actually changed it with the new tax law, and now you can use it for any form of education.
Okay.
But it still has to be used for education.
Yeah.
You get penalized.
And so with the custodial account, she can use it for whatever she wants at 18. So that's why it's good for you to, now you can build that conversation. That's why it's good for us to learn how to invest.
Yeah.
Because our kids are going to do what they see us doing. Yeah. That's just a natural fact. Yeah, we all are creatures of our environment. It is what it is. So we start having these conversations with them at a young age. Like, her favorite book right now is a book called The Evolution of Money. Hmm. Right? She'd be like, Dad, let's read The Evolution of Money. Right?
And how old is she?
3.
She knows how to read?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, did my son know how to read?
We walked through this.
Nah, maybe I failed as a parent.
I'm in education. My son is, he's 5 and he's Right. Just learning how to read.
Well, I mean, she reads. She. I would say this. She identifies words.
All right. Okay.
So I'm not gonna say like she up like
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say like she up here on some Doogie Owls or MD shit. She identifies words.
Nah, but that's extremely powerful, like you said, because the parents have to lead it by example.
You have to.
If you don't set an example for your kids, then they're gonna get the example just from pop culture,
the world.
Music,
the world.
Streets. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So it's extremely important. And like I said, it's just seeing different people and different conversations. And it's like, that's one of the cool things about this podcast. It's like, we have these conversations, and if it's like, we could be like people on a basketball court or just, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But we're actually talking about things that are really important.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like a cool feel because it's not stuck up. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's natural. And a lot of times people feel like they have to like dumb themselves down to be accepted. Or you got to watch how you speak because you don't want to sound too intelligent.
Right, right.
It's like these things is real. Like it's
right,
real. Like,
right, you know what I'm saying? Right, right.
Like, I'm glad that I think that the tide is starting to turn on that.
It is. I love the temperature that's going on right now. Just with, even with you all, you know, I'm like, bro, like y'all shifting the culture with this.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? Because there are a lot of podcasts out there. Right, everybody has something to say.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Right, everybody has something to say, and they want to say it in their own unique way. What I love about what y'all have is, however you gonna come speak it.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
Yeah, you feel what I'm saying? Yeah, like there is no, hey, we can't, like whatever you want to speak about, but it's all about the improvement of the culture as far as you know, financial literacy.
Right.
And I didn't know you was into finance, bro. Yeah. So that's a whole nother like connection right there.
It goes
right?
Back to the ownership piece.
The ownership, right?
Like, nobody's telling us,
right?
Make sure y'all cover this. This facts. Is like, yo, we're gonna put the cameras up, we're gonna put
and
the mics
gonna
up,
go hard.
We're gonna start speaking.
Right.
It's powerful, man.
I remember you posted something. You said something about ownership.
Okay.
Something you posted like recently. And I love when you post certain stuff. Cause I can come in there and just go hard, right? I'll be waiting. I'll be like, "Come on, man! Like, come with it!" Like, so and somebody complained about. It was about taxes.
Okay. Okay.
And I said, the problem is that because somebody said, "Why don't they teach this in school?"
Oh yeah, I know about that with the wealthiest people. Paying
Less. And so I was like, "Yo, why would they teach us this in school? It's not that they should teach us. Why would they?" Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a dope analogy that I always use. So we know that the lion is at the top of the food chain, right? So he's not the king of the jungle. Like we feel like that's some bullshit, right? He lives in a safari, so I'm not gonna say that shit, right? But he's at the top of the food chain. The lion cannot tell the zebra, the impala, or the water buffalo how to get away. He can't. If I tell you how to get away, what do I eat?
Hmm.
What do I eat? Either I become a vegetarian or I eat my own kind. Right? So he can't. And if he did, they would tell one another how to get away. Same thing with this. The upper echelon are the financial predators. We are the financial prey. I can't teach you how to get away. But if you learn, I can't stop you.
Hmm.
I can't stop you. Wealthy people don't make wealthy people rich. Poor people do.
Right.
Because we have no relationship with money. So I can't teach you how to get away. Then what I'm going to do, but I'm going to teach my kids how to be predators. And I'm teaching my daughter how to be a predator. Not on people, but just how to have ownership. They can't teach you that in school. Why would they?
Yeah, that's like, yeah, that's what the 5% say, like 85% is ruled by 10%,
mm-hmm.
which is like the bloodsuckers of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And the 5% is the poor righteous teachers.
Poor righteous teachers.
But we not poor, but we the righteous teachers.
Righteous teachers. Facts.
The righteous
facts.
Teachers. We're gonna take
liberate
the poor,
that.
We're going to take the poor part out.
Liberate that.
Cause,
I like that.
We're going to pay them full.
Yeah, but, I like that.
You know,
I like that.
Because, yeah, we're going to liberate the people from the bloodsuckers of the poor. For
facts.
Sure.
That's what we're here for.
Facts. Appreciate that.
Can we just talk about investing in ETFs?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Can you explain what an ETF is and then how do you invest in it?
So an ETF is an exchange traded fund. So it's basically, this is a, So all my people tell me, like, I just had the dopest analogy, bro. Like, I come up with them because I love to relate to people, right?
Yeah, man.
So an ETF is like saying this without even getting technical. Let's say you go in Walmart, right? You go in Walmart and you don't know what you want to buy, so you buy the whole store. That's an index fund. Let's say you go to Walmart and you want to buy a specific kind of Pop-Tarts, right? So you go to the Pop-Tart aisle and you see so many flavors of Pop-Tarts. You're like, you know what? I just want this whole aisle of Pop-Tarts. So you buy the whole aisle of Pop-Tarts. That's an ETF. Does it make sense? So what the ETF is, it's a group of businesses that operate the same or sell similar products. Example, you want to invest in marijuana, but you don't know which marijuana stock to buy. You buy either a marijuana ETF called YOLO or you buy MJ. And now at this point, you have all the marijuana stocks.
They're all inside.
That's an ETF.
Gotcha.
A trick to that is this. You can buy ETF, and because they've already done the homework, because they're going to have the best performing stocks in the ETF. At that point, you can see, you can go to what's called ETFDB, which is ETF database. I'm giving y'all some game right quick. Like, you go to ETF database, you put that ETF in, and they'll tell you every ETF that's in that ETF. And then they'll tell you how much of a percentage of that ETF is holding that business. So it'll say this ETF has 15% of Canopy Growth. That means for every dollar you put in, 15% of that is going to Canopy Growth. It may have 10% of Aurora Cannabis. It may have 5% of Crohn's. So you can literally say, okay, I don't want to do the homework. I want to be lazy. I'll go to the ETF, see which ones they hold, and just pick the top companies in the ETF. And at that point, you win. Now, you don't know the value of it. That's what I teach people about value, how to value it. But if you just want to be a lazy investor, you can just do that. Because ETF's going to have the top performing businesses in that sector inside the ETF, and you just pick that.
And index funds.
So index funds would be you buying a whole market. Now, they are broken down different ways. So you can buy the Dow Jones. You can buy the S&P 500. These are indexes.
NASDAQ as well.
Yeah, you can buy NASDAQ. You can buy the Russell 2000, which are the four majors. Then you can break it down and say, okay, I just want to get a large cap ETF. So that's all businesses that have $1 billion, $2 billion or better, right? So every business in here is going to be $2 billion or better. $10 billion or better. Then you can buy a mid cap, which businesses that stop at $2 billion. And then you can buy a small cap, which is businesses under $2 billion. $2 billion. We're under $2 billion market cap.
Yeah, the market cap. So market capitalization, that's kind of how they categorize stocks.
Yeah. Right?
And I always like the analogy that I use is like, you have giant cap, large cap. Those are like, you know, giant companies.
Yeah, 100 billion or better.
Yeah. Then you have, you know, mid cap. Then you have small cap. Then you have micro cap.
Yeah.
So the thing is that usually, and correct me if I'm wrong, the larger the cap, the less volatile. Like, it's almost impossible for Apple to just fall apart overnight.
That's true.
They're also not going to quadruple overnight either. Where a smaller company, good news can send their stock skyrocketing.
Yes.
But then bad news can bankrupt them. So it's kind of like a speedboat and a cruise ship.
So like a WeWork situation.
Yeah. Terrible.
We got to talk about WeWork.
We can talk about WeWork. Yeah. But that's called beta. What you're talking about, the volatility. So if you're going to invest in a stock, you can look at the beta of it. A low beta means it's not volatile. A high beta means, like Tesla, high beta. High risk, high reward.
Right.
Right? But McDonald's, probably a beta of 0.9. Right? So it's not going, you know, it's not, like, you're not about to wake up today and McDonald's is at 2:30 and tomorrow is at 1:50. That's not about to happen.
Yeah.
But with Tesla, you'll wake up today, is at 2:50. Tomorrow, you can wake up, is at 1:80. Easy. Right? So high beta. And the market cap is just simply this. If I have 10 shares of my business on the stock market and they are worth $10 a share, at that point, I have a $100 market cap. So it's how many outstanding shares on the market times the stock price. That's how you can tell what the market cap is of a business.
Can we talk about that WeWork situation?
Let's talk about it.
So yeah, if anybody's not familiar, WeWork was the talk of Wall Street. Right.
Yes.
It was IPO. They were the most valuable. What were they?
$45 billion.
Yeah, coming in at 45 to 50. Yeah,
they, something. And they fell apart. And now they had to withdraw their IPO. The CEO got fired.
Stepped down.
Stepped down. He lost his billionaire status.
Yes.
So
in a day.
In a day.
Yeah. So a lot of times people see these stories, they don't fully understand, like, how is this possible? Like, what's your take on that?
Well, so shout my people, House Hunter 216. She had me one day, cousin Nita. She hit me and she was like, Trapper.
Shout out to Nita.
That's my that's my heart right there. Yeah. She hit me up one day. She was like, Trapper, man, I want to invest in WeWork. I said, oh, no, you not. No, you not. She was like, why? I was like, man, these people don't make money. So one of the things I love about the stock market is it literally teaches you how to be a businessman or a woman. Because you look at businesses all day, right? So they're not profitable.
Well, a lot of companies aren't. But I'll let you finish, though.
Yeah. So they aren't profitable, and they don't have the revenue to back it up. So, like, not only aren't they... So you can actually not be profitable, but still have a lot of revenue. Mm-hmm. Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
But yeah. Or Uber.
Or Uber. But they aren't profitable, and they don't have the revenue coming in. And it's, so when I invest in a business, I look at this. I always look at the inverse, meaning if something bad happens, how likely is it for this stock to fall? So we know WeWork is based off of entrepreneurial space, right? So they rent space to entrepreneurs. So I looked at it like this. They already are not profitable. If something happens as far as recession wise, will entrepreneurs rather come sit in a room at their own house in a table and do work and not pay that rent? Or will they still pay that rent? They probably will cut that rent out. So that business model isn't, to me, it wasn't something that has a lot of longevity in it now. Dude was a bad CEO with a great idea though. But when he got the bread, he just was on some wild and out. He was on some party, Party City,
he went
Wolf of Wall Street, snorting coke, all the butt cheeks thing.
I envisioned the Lambo scene.
Yeah. He had a lot going on, and he didn't want up it. But once, so this is the thing. Once somebody who's a major investor say, "Yo, I'm pulling my bread," SoftBank. Which is a
yeah.
Once they're like, yo, I'm pulling my bread, yo, like, do it on the wrong level. He living his life wrong. Now other major investors are like, wait a minute, I'm gonna pull my bread too.
Yeah, we all leaving that ship.
Yeah, and so now the people, nobody wants to get stuck holding the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the next biggest thing is, dude, you gotta go. We don't want you to go, but you gotta step down because we need another face. Right, and so he was stubborn for a while, like, nah, because he made the business.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for you to let your baby go. Because even if you step down, you know what's coming next.
Yeah.
The ship be sinking.
So I just thought it was a bad business as a whole out the gate. What you think about it?
I think that it has potential. Because there's a lot of co-working.
Regus is one.
Yeah, Regus.
Regus, I like that.
Actually, Nipsey. Speaking of Nipsey.
Yeah.
Vector 90.
Vector 90. It's interesting what you said as far as economic downturn, because I was going to ask you about the recession or people saying it's going to be a recession. It's interesting. I never really thought about that from that standpoint, but it makes a lot of sense as far as to say, okay, if worse comes to worse, I'll just stay in my living room.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have to. You don't really, if you go into this office, you don't have to have an office.
Nah.
If you're doing that.
Right.
Because other than like holding meetings, which you can just pay.
Zoom.
Yeah, or Zoom.
I'm invested in Zoom.
It's just not sustainable, right? Like, I might not have meetings every day of every month of the year.
I think people are working differently now, too.
Yeah.
There's kind of an old business model to actually go in. Like, I have an office I probably go to, like, once a week.
Exactly.
You don't need to physically go into an office.
Right. Like, and you're there once a week. Literally. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the point? It's not sustainable.
You may go there just to, like, clear your mind, see what's going on. I'm just going.
I got to leave the suburbs for
for a minute. Let me go ahead. But you don't need it.
No, you're right.
So that's what I thought about it. Now, the bad part, some of them are actually profitable. So at that point, the whole dynamic of the business changes. Because if you're a profitable business in an economic downturn, so now we're going to tap into something that's deeper called free cash flow, right? So this is the money that a business has that's not attached to anything. So it's after they pay their bills and after they pay everything, they still have this. So Apple is like one of the biggest
war chest. Yeah,
they free cash flow is like crazy.
Billion, so crazy. Yeah.
It's like 190 billion. So what happens is in case of an economic downturn, they still have money to keep the business going. If you're a profitable business and you have a good free cash flow, you can still sustain for a given amount of time. But if you're negative all around the board, you're going to collapse. And so for me, that's something I look for in a business. I need you to have a moat, which is a competitive advantage, and I need you to have a good like free cash flow. I need that shit to be positive.
So when you look at a business, what are you looking at? You're looking at their earnings report? Do you like, what do you actually look, and how do you evaluate whether it's a good business or not?
So I look for a few things. Like, so it's like me looking at a woman. No to nobody. Like, I don't want nobody to say that crazy.
Get the notepads out.
Right? So you have what you look for, and then you have what's there. Right? And then you ask yourself, how does this fit to what I want? Right? So what I do is the first thing I look at is this. I never look at the stock price. Because the stock price is only based on how you and I feel about it. Right? So first thing I look at, who's running the business? And I put this on my page all the time. How a person runs a business tells me a lot about the business. Because if you can't run the business, I can't make no money. So I'm gonna look at, when did you get into a position of the CEO? How did the business run before you? And what have you done since you got taken control of the business? That's first and foremost. So I wanna look at management first. The next thing I'm gonna look at is, do you have a competitive edge, right? So like, what makes you better than everybody else? What makes you sustainable? So for instance, if you bought Coca-Cola, so you would have to ask yourself this, if you are a retail business, what does your shelf domination look like? How do you dominate the shelves? So if you go into sodas, Coca-Cola dominates. But if you look at the overall business, Pepsi does. Pepsi has more products. Mm. But if you look in at sheer beverages, Coca-Cola dominates. Even when you go to a fast food store, they're predominantly Coke products.
Coke products, yeah.
They're called, it's one of those things where they coined the name. It's like Coke.
Coke.
Yeah.
And so
it
one
means
of,
soda now.
It means bingo.
Right.
When your name becomes synonymous with something, yeah, you have a competitive edge.
We had that conversation. It's like Band-Aid.
Bingo. Oh,
it's like polo.
Bingo. Yeah. That style of shirt,
yeah, it's
a polo.
Even if it's a Lacoste shirt,
it's a polo. Shirt. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm looking for that doable competitive edge. And now we're going to tap into earnings. So I want to see, me, what have you done the last 8 quarters? Have you beat earnings the last 8 quarters? Meaning, have you made profit the last 8 quarters? And then I want to look at your free cash flow. I want to look at working capital, which is current assets and current liabilities, meaning what you have in these next 12 months. So if something happened in the next 12 months, is that money positive? If it's negative, we got an issue. It's not bad, but we got an issue. If it's positive, then I know you can hold it down. It's like having money in a savings account.
So when you're looking at all these things, are we looking through publications? Are we going to a site? Like, is it like Barron's?
Yeah, so face value, you can go to Yahoo Finance.
Okay.
Just face value. Mm-hmm. You go to Yahoo Finance and you can do the numbers. If you want to dig deep, you go to that company's quarterly report or annual report. Mm. So what happens is, it's another thing like why I love the stock market. If you're a public company, you have to tell people what you're doing.
Information has to be public.
It has to be. So even your competitors get to see what you're doing. So that's what I do. Like, if I like a business, I want to see what the competitor's doing. And then I want to see how are you at matching up to what they're doing. Are you shifting that way? Right? So I want to see how are they moving toward the future? Because we know every 2 years, the business cycle changes.
Yeah, that's like when you hear like on CNBC, it's like, oh, their quarterly report's coming
Bingo.
In.
Bingo. And so they have to. Everybody has to do it. And so if it's a dividend paying company, are you increasing those? If you increase from those, that means you have some profitability. Because no business can consistently increase paying me more money if they don't have money.
Mm. So can we talk about the education?
Am I going too deep right now?
No,
man.
Perfect.
Nah, it's great.
Perfect.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
backdrop.
Backdrop. A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.